Okay, exercising the prerogative of the chair, in light of what our previous chair said, we will now take a 5 to 8 minute bio break before, as our staff sets up the next executive session. Thank you.
The next one is waiting.
Hmm?
Oh, the next one's ready.
Tell them we got about 5 minutes. Yep. Start, Mr. Brisson?
Sure.
Okay, Monica, are they on?
I will let
them
in.
Please let them in.
It will announce, and then they should be in just a moment.
Unknown participant is now joining.
There we go.
Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We are now reconvening the executive session for the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, which has been convened under ORS 244.260, sub 4, sub D, and ORS 192.685, sub 1. The matter before us at the moment will be item number 30 on your executive session agenda involving Ms. Melissa Bjarnson, if I'm saying that name right. Is there anybody else, Monica, on for this item?
No.
Okay. All right, our process, Ms. Bjarnson, can you hear me?
Unknown participant is now exiting.
I don't know.
Ms. Bjarnson, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you very much. Our process to consider the item before us involving you from the City of Oak Ridge will be first to hear a staff report. Therefore, we will now hear that report.
Thank you, Vice Chair Fiskum, Chair Mason, and Commissioners. Again, for the record, my name is Lisa Kristen. I am an investigator with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. Before you is the matter of Melissa Bjarnson. I did call her and ask her for phonetic spelling, so I want to thank her for that. 21-102 ELC. It's in your meeting book at page 263 and is item number 30. The Oregon Government Ethics Commission received a letter of complaint from Priscilla Davidson, a city councilor for the City of Oak Ridge, on May 20th, 2021. The complainant alleged that the respondent, a member of the City Council and the City Budget Committee, as well as a volunteer for Oak Ridge Fire and EMS, may have failed to declare a conflict of interest or used or attempted to use her position to obtain financial gain or avoid financial detriment when stipends for Oak Ridge firefighters were acted upon by the Budget Committee. The Budget Committee meeting at issue took place on May 19, 2021. Respondent declared a potential conflict of interest into the minutes at the Budget Committee meeting on May 19, 2021. When matters relating to a stipend she would receive in her position as a volunteer in the Oak Ridge Fire Department were discussed and voted upon. It should be noted that respondent contacted Oregon Government Ethics Commission staff and had received advice from the Oregon Government Ethics Commission staff regarding whether she had a conflict of interest as a member of the Budget Committee and as a city councilor while also serving as a volunteer for the Fire Department, and asked specifically if it was a conflict, if she was not planning to serve as a volunteer or was not planning to accept a stipend if one was offered if she did volunteer. She was advised that she had a potential conflict in both roles and would need to declare the same in a public meeting and was provided with a copy of advice on a similar issue. That advice was Chad Jacobs 19-001I. She received this advice in early May. There was no information available at preliminary review to indicate that respondents subsequently discussed or voted on the budget matter, the firefighter stipend matter, at a city council meeting, as the proposal regarding that stipend failed by a tie vote at the budget committee meeting. As such, it appears the potential conflict of interest at the May 19, 2021 budget committee meeting was properly addressed by respondent. The use of office issue, however, may require further investigation, as respondent did discuss and vote against a proposal to cut the stipend provided to volunteers with Oak Ridge Fire and EMS by half. Although a recent commission advisory opinion, that of Sarah Hansen 21-110A, does indicate that facts identified in that opinion were sufficiently limited that mere voting without more on described matters would not rise to the level of a prohibited use of office, that opinion goes on to state, "We caution, however, that any addition to or change in the factual circumstances may result in a different conclusion. In the present case, respondents' actions regarding the issue relevant to the complaint in this matter appear to be more than the mere vote addressed in Hansen. She discussed the motion and gave examples of the volunteer position from her own experience and then voted to reject the motion to cut the stipends in half. As such, she may have used her position to attempt to avoid a financial detriment for herself. Preliminary review report is in your meeting book with a recommendation to move the matter to investigation on the issue of use of office."
Thank you, Ms. Kristen. Commissioners, any questions for our investigator?
Mr. Chair, I do have a question.
Please, Mr. Sosa.
Yes, Ms. Kristen, I struggled with this one because of the but-for exception under ORS 244.040, where you're not allowed to use your position for financial gain or to avoid financial detriment. If a financial gain or avoidance of financial detriment would not otherwise be available but for the public official holding their official position. So as a volunteer firefighter, she had the ability to speak up against this in that capacity. And so that's where I'm conflicted, because she announces the conflict of interest. So I think we're good there. But then in terms of the use of office, having declared this situation, she does have the right to say, I think this is a bad idea. And I don't, it's kind of a gray area about whether she's using her position or whether she's speaking as a somebody who has worked as a volunteer firefighter and is speaking in her citizen capacity. So can you walk me through your thought on that?
Sure. And I don't disagree with your analysis. This is a tricky case, especially since we have, you know, the provision that declaring a conflict of interest won't ameliorate, you know, a use of office issue. I think that's very confusing in many ways, and I think this case is probably a good example of that. What I can say in this particular case, I think what factor we looked at specifically was that she was in a position as a member of the Budget Committee to determine whether or not the stipend that she would then be receiving as a firefighter would be cut in half or not. So any official action taken as a member of the Budget Committee would supersede, if you will, her role in showing up as a member of the fire department. That she actually had the ability to put the kibosh on a reduction in the stipend that she would receive. That's the little kernel of use of office right there. But again, Commissioner Sosa, I don't disagree with your comments.
Mr. Sosa, please follow up.
Particularly because she came to the commission initially trying to get guidance. I mean, this was a tough one for me because I see this as somebody who really is trying their best to be ethical, but at the same time really thinks this is a bad idea and wants to share that information from her perspective. So I struggled with this one. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Lindsay, did you have your hand up?
Kind of. I was just agreeing with Commissioner Sosa in non-verbally, but I agree. Here's someone that's trying very, very hard to comply, and whether or not she's speaking in her capacity as expressing her opinion or taking action, there's some gray area there, and I'm inclined to think that with her very solid attempts to try, she's and being a volunteer firefighter, she's really trying. So I really appreciate what Commissioner Sosa had to say.
Thank you. Commissioner Hollister, please.
Since we have the learned Mr. Nasby in the room, I'm wondering if he has any thoughts on the Article 1, Section 8 implications of prohibiting a person from speaking in their private capacity on an issue of public interest in a context like this where they declare a potential conflict of interest?
Well, I don't know that we're necessarily in a private capacity here. My understanding is she's a member of a committee, so she's speaking in her capacity as a public official.
I think what we're all saying is our impression was she was speaking as a private volunteer. No? As a volunteer firefighter as opposed to a member of the committee. Isn't that what we found?
No, at least the facts that were available to us were that she was a member of the Budget Committee, and when the matter came up before the Budget Committee, she spoke as a member of the Budget Committee on the motion to cut the stipends in half.
Okay, I guess I misread the facts then. Fair enough. I would draw my question. I'm sad I don't hear from Mr. Nasby, though.
He may still want to speak. Mr. Nasby, do you have anything to add? Please, feel free.
Just a little bit of context. I think we are in this weird place where the two statutes intersect. I think in looking at the opinion that talks about mere voting is not a violation, I think there's potentially a broad universe of conduct beyond mere voting within which you can draw an appropriate line. And so I just compare the facts in this case, motion and voting, with extremely egregious facts of active bribery and crime. I think a reasonable commission could draw the line anywhere within that range in terms of where the use of office violation is.
Commissioner Hollister, follow up, and then Mr. Lindsay.
No, I mean, I think I understand where you're coming from. I think I'm struggling with the same thing the other commissioners are struggling with, which is, you know, you can sort of, people wear different hats, and you can declare a potential conflict of interest and still have strong feelings about something as an individual, and how do you manage that and do so ethically?
Commissioner Lindsay, please.
Yeah, I agree. I appreciate the continuum line that you drew there, Mr. Nasby, and in my mind, so perfect example is several of us here on this commission are attorneys, right? We're not speaking in our capacity as individuals, we're speaking in our capacity as wearing the hat of commission, but we have that individual life experience and professional experience where we can give comments and statements as why something might be bad, etc. So in my mind, I think that she's on that continuum of acting individually or in her capacity as that committee member. I think it lies on the, it's not in an action. She was not committing an action in that capacity. That's kind of where I'm landing.
Thank you, commissioners. This may be a good time to pause our comments and hear directly from Ms. Bjornson, who is at least on the line. I believe, Ms. Bjornson, if you are on the line and can hear me, this is your time to address us. Please.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. Gosh, this is kind of overwhelming for me. I really appreciate you guys looking into this and all of your comments. Regardless of outcome, this is a huge learning experience for me, and being a new counselor, I appreciate that very much. I don't know exactly what I could say here. I'm a volunteer EMT. I'll clarify that. I'm not a firefighter. But the stipends apply to all volunteers that might do the 24-hour. Do you have any questions specifically for me? I am a city councilor. We were convened as the budget committee when this discussion took place.
Okay, Ms. Bjornson, thank you. I'm not trying to step on your line. If you want to keep speaking to us, please feel free, but we may have some questions for you in a moment. But anything else to say to us?
No, I'm happy to answer any questions, so if you have any clarification or anything.
Okay, do the commissioners or Ms. Kristen have any questions for Ms. Bjornson? Now would be the time, commissioners?
No.
Okay. Then we'll move quickly to what we've already been doing in part, which is having the commission discuss this issue. And I would be happy to entertain further comments, or if somebody has a motion, this would be a good time to make that motion for our consideration.
Mr. Chair, I will make a motion that we actually dismiss this matter just based on the comments I said earlier. I think this is somebody who very much was trying to be ethical, sought guidance from us, declared the conflict of interest, but then expressed a personal opinion based on her life experience that I think she was trying to be helpful to the body. So I just don't see the ethics violation here. So I move that we dismiss.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any comments on the motion before us? Okay, we're then ready, seeing no comments for the decision. Let me just do one preamble. For our votes today, we are going to be considering for the record Commissioner Mason's hand raised as an affirmative vote. We have considered that up to this point, pursuant to one of my earlier comments about his lack of voice. So we will, from now on, as well, well, I'll reiterate, we're considering his hand raised to be a yes vote. If my colleague, Commissioner Mason, chooses to vote no on a matter, I will assume that he will have enough voice to utter a no when the time comes, if that time does come. So, that said, for the record, clerk, please call the roll on item number 30.
Commissioner Hollister?
Sorry, my mute button got away from me. I vote aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Mason's hand is raised.
Vice Chair Fiscom?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Ms. Bjornson, thank you for participating with us, at least listening to us, and we're thankful for your comments. For the record, the item before us has been dismissed. We appreciate your willingness to consider yourself to be educated. That's part of our goal, so thank you for your participation today. This item is now closed, and we'll move on. Thank you, Ms. Bjornson. We'll now move on to another executive session matter, which we'll set up in just a moment.
Unknown participant is now exiting.
And for my colleagues on the commission, we'll now move to item 31. Am I right? Okay. And we'll have somebody either on Teams or the phone for that item in a moment.
She should be on.
Ms. Hollett, are you on the phone? Or on the... I don't see you yet, but...
She's right here.
Oh, there you are.
She's muted.
Ms. Hollett, can you unmute yourself for a moment and indicate that you are, in fact, present and hearing our comments? There you are.
There you are.
Now we see your face. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, this is the time, colleagues, for the consideration of item number 31 on our executive session agenda under the previously announced ORS authority. This is item number 31. Involving Ms. Christina Hollett from the City of Oak Ridge. The first way, the way we'll approach this, Ms. Hollett, is to hear from our staff first, and eventually then we'll have time to hear from you. Staff?
Thank you very much. Chair Mason and commissioners, as well as vice chair. My name is Lisa Kristen. I am an investigator with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. Before you is the matter of Christina Hollett, case number 21-103 ELC. That matter is found at page 273 and is item 31 in your meeting book. The Oregon Government Ethics Commission received a letter of complaint from Priscilla Davidson, a city councilor for the city of Oak Ridge, on May 20th, 2021. Complainant alleged that Christina Hollett, a member of the city council and the city budget committee, as well as a volunteer for the Oak Ridge Fire and EMS, might have failed to declare a conflict of interest when stipends for members of the Oak Ridge Fire and EMS Department and a potential pay freeze were acted upon by the Oak Ridge Budget Committee and may have used her position to avoid financial detriment for herself or a relative. The Budget Committee meeting at issue took place on May 19, 2021. Respondent declared a potential conflict of interest at the beginning of that Budget Committee meeting regarding both her position as a volunteer in the Oak Ridge Fire and EMS and regarding her husband's employment with the Oak Ridge Fire Department. Her husband is a paid employee of the Oak Ridge Fire Department, or was at the time of the complaint. This declaration was made before both matters, stipends for the volunteers and a potential pay freeze for employees of the city, were discussed and voted upon. Respondent declared potential conflict of interest when matters related to those issues regarding, again, her position as a volunteer and a proposed pay freeze, which would affect all city employees, including her husband, Scott Hollett. There is no information available at preliminary review to indicate that respondent subsequently discussed or voted on any of these matters at a city council meeting, as the proposals regarding the stipend and the pay freeze both failed by vote at the budget committee meeting. Moreover, as to the pay freeze issue, which could potentially impact all city employees, including respondent's husband, the commission could find that a class exception exists pursuant to ORS 244-02013B, if the financial impact of an official action would affect to the same degree a class consisting of an industry, occupation, or other group, including one of which or in which the person or the person's relative is a member or is engaged, the public official would not be met with a conflict. These class exceptions are very fact-specific, and only the commission is able to determine a class. It appears that any potential conflicts of interest in any event at the May 19, 2021 Budget Committee meeting were properly addressed by respondent. The use of office issue, however, may require further investigation as respondent did discuss and vote against a proposal to cut the stipend provision to volunteers volunteers with Oak Ridge Fire and EMS by half. Although a recent commission advisory opinion again does indicate facts indicated in that opinion were sufficiently limited that mere voting without more would not rise to the level of a prohibited use of office, the opinion does state that addition to or change in factual circumstances may result in a different conclusion. In the present case, respondents' actions regarding these issues, the issues relevant to the complaint, appear to be more than the mere vote addressed in Hansen. She also discussed and voted on both motions. As such, she may have used her position to attempt to avoid a financial detriment for herself or for her spouse, as, again, both actions that were before the Budget Committee would have affected stipend or income to her or a family member. It should be noted that additional information was received by respondent after their preliminary review report had been completed in this matter. As such, commission staff was unable to address the information, although the information appears to address the issue of potential conflicts of interest. The additional information or response from respondent is attached to the PR report in the meeting book. I note that because, again, once my preliminary review report is filed and the 30 days have run, I can't act on it. So I did make sure to include her response for the commissioners in the meeting book. Preliminary review report is in your meeting book with a recommendation to move the matter to investigation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kristen. Are there any questions for our investigator from commissioners as the next step in our proceedings? Okay, hearing and seeing none, Ms. Hollett, if I'm saying your name right, this is the time when you should feel free to speak to the commission. I believe we'll all be able to hear you. Please proceed.
Hi there. Thank you for letting me join today. My name is Christina Hollett. I've been a city councilor with Oak Ridge. This is my second year, this is going on almost my third year. I reached out to the commission when I first became a councilor during the first budget committee, my participation on the first budget committee, and I asked for advice from the commission on how I was to proceed in the budget committee process and the council adoption process. I believe I submitted my first letter was from either Susan Myers or Diane Gold, and I'm hoping that's in there in the report. Am I able to ask that question?
I attached it to the report. I received it and wasn't able to, I wanted to verify that the information had been provided to you by Ms. Myers. I was unable to do that before the 30 days elapsed, so I was unable to incorporate it into my report, but I did attach your response to the report for the commissioners.
Okay. So my initial recommendation, my interpretation of it from Susan was that I was allowed to participate in the budget process and that I must always declare my potential conflict and that my actions on the budget committee is participation as a budget committee member and not of the actions of a council member, that it's a budget committee advisory to the council. I have always made sure that my position is very well stated in every budget meeting, every single one that's taken place. And then when it comes to the council level adoption, I declare an actual conflict. I never discuss any budget matters and I actually sit out of it, do not discuss and do not vote. This is the first year that stipend has ever been discussed at a budget committee level, and that is because our city is just under a lot of financial stress right now. From reading my recommendation, the first initial one, I felt like I was following it as recommended. Another counselor reached out and asked what I was advised. I told her my advisory, but I had said that it's always a good idea to go ahead and reach out again to the Ethics Commission just to see in case things change or new cases have been heard, in case there is an opinion change. She reached out and I did read her letter from the Ethics, and it seemed to be maybe not identical, but nearly identical to the one that I received 2 years ago. that I was able to participate in the budget portion. And so I truly, sincerely believed that I was following the recommendations of that from Susan Myers and I believe Diane Gold as well. And also that her letter also seemed to be very much in step. I really can't think of a lot more that I have to say other than I feel that I felt that I did my due diligence by reaching out and looking for a written recommendation and that I followed what I believe to be what I should be doing.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Hollett. Now would be the time for commissioners to ask any questions of you, should questions exist. Commissioners, questions? Commissioner Lindsay?
No questions, thank you.
Oh, I thought your hand was up, sorry. Anybody else have a question? Seeing none, the time is now just for discussion among commissioners about what action we might choose to take. If there are questions that come to mind now, feel free to ask them as well as discuss what our action could be.
Mr. Chair, I do have a question for our council or for Mr. Burson potentially. Just for the benefit of all of us as a reminder, the class exception, how do we determine that and what factors do we look at?
Well, the class exception, I mean, we've already talked, it's on, because of the conflicts of interest, Commissioner Sosa, so we've already determined that she's,
correct.
She declared her conflicts of interest, so it doesn't really oversee the use of office portion that we'd look at, so we never really got into the analysis of whether there was a class exception here, since I guess all volunteer folks would have been treated the same, but there was a declaration made, so we didn't get into that analysis. I'm sorry.
Okay, so are we only looking at today, for purposes of use of office, we're only looking at the comment that she made regarding being a volunteer firefighter and opposing the reduction of the stipend? Is that all we're considering?
No, there's also the issue of her husband. There was a pay freeze. There was a proposal for a pay freeze that would affect all city employees, and that would affect her husband, who is a paid employee of the fire department. So there's two use of office issues, if you will. The stipend for the volunteers and the pay freeze, which may affect her husband.
Okay, so even if there is a class exception here that would affect her husband, that doesn't have any impact on the use of office issue?
It does not, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Hollister, please.
Just a quick question. So on the payment of the husband, I thought I read that his pay was subject to a CBA, and so any action of the council would not have impacted his pay. So I'm not sure how it would have been a but-for violation as to him, but am I missing something?
Ms. Kristen, please.
We weren't able to explore that in the time we had. Again, back to that 30-day limit. I didn't have all that information. If you're referring to the information, I believe, in her reply about her husband's status, yeah, I didn't have that and wasn't able to incorporate that into my report, unfortunately.
Okay, thank you. It seems like the commission could still elect to consider that information, but I understand that our investigator can't include it, which is fair, and so I would recommend to my fellow commissioners that we do consider that information in the attachment, that the decision would not have impacted Ms. Hollett's husband because his salary was subject to the CBA and wouldn't have been impacted by the pay freeze.
Mr. Burson, do we have the option to exercise judgment in the way Mr. Hollister has suggested? To consider issues beyond the 30 days that you can't consider, technically speaking?
Yes, you have all of those wild abilities. You can consider anything you'd like. You are the judicial body here.
We're free agents. Thank you very much.
You get to consider all data that comes in. We, by statute, are after I actually sign off on a preliminary review, even though we receive information at that time, we can provide that to you, but we just don't do any analysis of it. We obviously collect it and we give it to you, but we're precluded from doing that unless you move it to investigation.
Thank you for that clarification. Vice Chair, I suspected. Ms. Kristen, please.
If I may, I just want to interject something to clarify the issue a bit. What was being voted on, the pay freeze, I was stating it as a pay freeze. What the motion was to direct the City Council to enter into negotiations for a pay freeze for all city employees. That was the action. And again, not to put too fine a point on it, I don't know if there's, you know, a distinction that makes a difference there, but the motion was to consider it and to direct City Council to enter into those negotiations. That was the motion acted on.
Commissioner Hauser?
That's actually really helpful. I thought it was an issue where the council wouldn't have had authority to just vote on the issue, and therefore the vote at hand wouldn't have necessarily impacted the public official's spouse. But now that you rephrased it that way, I see that it very well could have impacted the spouse of a public official because reopening negotiations seems like there is a but-for issue there.
Any other comments? Commissioners, now would be the time, if you don't have any other questions, for there to be a motion. Mr. Lindsay, you look like you're ready to speak. Thank you.
I think I'm ready to make a motion. I've been considering the second action issue, and I think I'm inclined to dismiss. So I move to dismiss case number 21-103 ELC.
Discussion on the motion? Commissioners, discussion?
So,
Commissioner Hollister, please.
Commissioner Lindsay. So the second action issue, you're thinking on that, am I right in saying that you're thinking is that because there would have had to been negotiations reopening opened, that you don't see that as a but-for violation? Am I following that right?
I think that's right. I think you summarized that correctly.
Okay. Thank you.
Other comments or questions? Ready for the vote? I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Chair Mason's hand is up, signifying affirmative.
Vice Chair Fiscom?
Aye.
Motion passes.
The status of this issue, Ms. Hollett, is that the issue before us has been dismissed. I'm going to presume that, pursuant to your comments, we have achieved at least part of our objective, which is to helping to educate all of us about these issues, commissioners as well as yourself. Thank you for your willingness to appear before us via this virtual mechanism this morning. Any comments? Thank you very much. We'll proceed to the next executive session item.
Thank you.
Appreciate your work.
Thank you.